A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Will You Accept This Rose, a production of iHeartRadio.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Get all up in you tonight.
On its hump day.
So good.
Oh, I feel good.
I just got one little question for you, girl. Will you accept this rose?
Now that Tayshia's here, I will. Yeah.
Oh, will you accept this rose into your world?
So horny. Oh, wow.
Will you accept this rose into your world?
Wow. Hello, America, and wherever you are on Earth. My name is Arden Marine, coming to you from my bougie garage somewhere in Los Angeles, California. Can I just say, it is raining men today on this happy hump day with all of my new buddies. These are good guys. Will you accept this rose? The men of Will You Accept This Rose are all good guys. And then there's Heitner. And that's how we like it. We like to have our rascal and Steve Heitner. And then the rest of them are good guys. And we are so excited. We have three people with us today. And I could not be more excited about this. I don't know which order to go in. I'm going to go in with the people that were booked first. There were two gentlemen. I did their podcast, Help I Suck at Dating, with Dean and Jared. I met the first gentleman 3 years ago at Outside Lands Festival. He came and did our live podcast. Wait, just when he was a baby Dean bird starting to fly. You know him. You love him from Paradise. You love him from social media. You love him from The Bachelorette. We just saw everybody loves him. Everybody, welcome from The Bachelor, Dean Engler.
What an honor. What an honor it is to be here. Thanks for taking some time out of your day to have me as a guest. This is the height of my 2020, bar none.
God bless you. Can I?
Dude, you got to get out more. If this is the height, you need to get out.
No, this is his height. Don't ruin this for me. This is my friend. This is my reconnected friend. This is going to be your height today. Don't even kid yourself. Also with him, his co-host, my new friend, a fellow Rhode Islander, a co-host from Help I Suck at Dating, from Dean and Jared. I'm going to say part of, I think, the cutest married couple from, I'm going to say they're number
one. That's some high praise right there.
I'm going to say, it delights me when I see your photographs. We love your wife on this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Jared Hyman.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Arden, for that glorious introduction. I'd like to point out that Dean said this is the height of his 2020. He talks to me every week. Yeah. So that really just shits on our friendship, doesn't it?
Oh, that's, I got
a direct reflection on you. Yeah.
I love it. We'll figure out by the end if he was accurate or not. We'll see if it was.
There is no shade. You're still involved in this climax. I don't think that you should be offended by that whatsoever.
That's right.
As long as I'm involved in Dean's climax, I'm a happy man.
Good. We've all been waiting for Dean to climax near Jared since we first met him. Since we first met him years ago. Now, here's the thing. You know, I love playing friendship matchmaker. I have all sorts of very odd combination of text threads that happen. I put people together and friendships start. There was a gentleman who joined our podcast this season after I met him at the very elegant game show, 25 Words or Less, with Meredith Vieira from her basement somewhere on the East Coast. And he did our podcast. And then Jared texted me and was like, no way, this guy liked The Bachelor. And I thought, I got to bring my new friend a present. I'm going to capture this man and I'm bringing him to the podcast, which I did. Surprising, Jared. You know him from Alias. You know him from Felicity. Excuse me. You know him from Star Wars. I'm sorry. Excuse me. What? But mostly as you know him as Jared's new friend, Mr. Greg Grunberg.
Yay! Thank you very much. Thank you.
So, okay. I got a fanboy just a little bit because Greg, are you like, you got to be friends with JJ Abrams, right?
Yeah, dude, since we were five, he's like my brother. Yeah. We literally grew up together. He moved from New York out to LA when he was five and we met in elementary school and he's been my best friend ever since. Yeah.
Are you serious? Since you
dude,
were
that's
five?
Freaking cool. I don't know if I could swear this podcast, but like
said I was horny. You can say anything you want.
My fucking fanboy mind is blowing up right now because it's just like, dude, Star Wars. Yeah. You're in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Stop.
You flew an X-Wing.
You were in paradise, my friend. Are you kidding me? That's so sweet of you. That's so sweet of you to say. I've been extremely lucky to do all the things, but more importantly, I never let go of people that I love, that I work with. And Arden, now she's walking away. She's like,
I heard my name. I got excited.
No, but I mean, honestly, anybody that's friends with Arden, I know is a good person. And we had a really, really, we still do. Rob Benedict is kind of our common friend. And now I'm just so happy. Thank you for inviting me back here.
Oh my God. Jared, we've been wanting to get you in. And like, what if that's the thing that's so fun. And of course we have with us Tana Banana, Dr. Anna Hosnier from somewhere. We have Ms. Katie Levine. I know everybody's feeling good this week. The world is a little lighter. Everybody's feeling like happy, a little relieved. Well, let's get to it. Can I just say, what an episode. Chef's kiss. Overall, how are you gentlemen enjoying this season so far? I have to say, I felt like I enjoyed the 4-episode arc of Claire, the fun madness of In and Out. Like, I'm rooting for she and Dale. Like, it was the perfect sort of overture to the season. And then we get Tayshia. So far, I'm enjoying the pandemic Bachelor. Dean, how are you feeling about it so far?
Arden, thank you so much for asking. It's funny, actually. I was going to mention this before we started recording this episode, but I figured I would save the scrutiny to while we were on air. I haven't seen any of the season.
I love this for you.
I want to say I maybe watched like the last 10 minutes of last episode and then maybe like 5 minutes of this week's episode. It's just so Kaylin, who is my girlfriend, obviously she loves the show. She wants to watch every episode, but every time she goes to put it on, I'm just like, I'm not really interested. I'm just going to play Call of Duty instead. And so I'll like come in the room every once in a while and like,
okay, wait. Let's get to the root of this. Like, is there something deep that you're just like, I'm too much of it. I can't.
Yeah. You got like PTSD or something.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I don't want to relive any traumatic memories. I don't really know what it is. It's funny too, because I've got a personal friendship with Tayshia. Like Tayshia and I were on Paradise together. We've hung out a bunch past and after the show. So like, I think I should be invested in her love story. But something about like, I would just rather be playing Call of Duty at 8 p.m. on a Tuesday night. And I know it's not like it would be a cool like bonding thing to do with your girlfriend or whatever. And obviously I wish that I had been watching so I would have more input and involvement in this podcast. But I'm just going to be able to like lend some unbiased, impartial opinions, I feel like.
All right. You know, I will say I watched every single episode of Saturday Night Live until I got on Mad TV. And then being on a sketch show was so stressful. I could never watch it. It ruined it for me. I did have PTSD. Well, I could not watch it.
In my defense, too, before I went on The Bachelorette, I never watched The Bachelorette either. Like, I've never
really
been
the target demo.
The only reality TV show I was a fan of was like Real World Road Rules Challenge.
I was a big Jersey Shore guy. I'm not gonna lie about that one.
Oh, were you really?
Season one was fantastic. Yeah. Oh my god, the Jim Tan Law
GTL Jim Tan Laundry. Come on now.
GTL, DTF. I mean, I have to say,
my favorite was the grenade horn. That was a popular one amongst my friends.
What was the grenade horn? Was like
Vinny had like one of those like long horns, and then anytime like he thought that like Mike or Paulie or Ronnie was hooking up with a grenade, he would blow it in the house. It's quite traumatic now, but fantastic at the time. No, Dean, I understand where you're coming from, because it is like Arden said, it is weird watching the show back now, because Dean and I just look at it through different lenses, because especially we're so close with the producers, and like we know Harrison, and it's just like such a different dynamic.
Yeah,
that sometimes when I watch the show, I'm like I can't, because like you can see, you know, certain things that other people wouldn't see, and it's either frustrating or you're like, that's kind of stupid.
So to that, right? When I was on Alias, that was an ABC show. And so we would do the press functions and all that stuff. And Chris Harrison and I got to be really good friends. Our families have traveled together. I mean, he's a very, very, very close friend. So is Ken Fuchs. Ken's son played baseball with my son. So I'm like, I know these guys just like you do, probably better. And I there's two sides of it. Like I really do love the sincerity of the show. There is a sincerity to the show. I had both those guys on my podcast a couple of years ago or a year ago or whatever. And I was trying to get out of Chris and Ken. I was like, there are phony moments, right? There has to be phony moments. He's like, well, we have them play games and do, but it's all sincere. And then when I see a moment like last night where she's getting ready in the mirror and she's looking right at us. Now, you can't look in a mirror and look straight. She's looking at the camera. So you go, those moments, like what you is, I'm assuming that and other things is what you just referred to.
Oh, yeah, because the show's not scripted. It's not fake. Like all the moments that happen in the show are very real. But what I mean is not like producer like meddling in the show. What I mean is more like a perfect example for me is Jason from last night, who is so torn about Claire. He couldn't even give Tayshia a chance. And like from someone who's been through the experience and now watching back, I'm just like, bro, you're going to leave this bubble and you're going to be like, wow, why? I wasn't in love with Claire as much as I initially thought. Not because like his feelings weren't real, but maybe he's probably wrapped up in the moment. And it's like, dude, just give Tayshia a chance. Don't like overthink stuff
Who doesn't want to go out with? Okay. Wait, Dean, I see your hand up. Is that your hand up?
No, I just realized I think that I've been recording this episode wrong the entire time so far.
I love this.
I would like, this is an inside look of doing a podcast with Dean every single week.
You know, that's how we love our Dean. Katie, do you care? Katie doesn't care. She's got backup audio.
I can use your backup audio from the Zoom call, so don't worry about it.
I'm going to start us from the beginning. And for Dean, this will be like a bedtime story for you. This will be the first time you've heard the story.
I'm glad. So I know we're going back. And that the frustrating thing about this podcast is that like you just said something and I want to jump in, but we're going to go chronologically.
I know, but I promise we're going to get to everything. We're going to get to Jason. We're getting to everything. Awesome. So we're starting out. They've sweat now, Dean. They basically put Tayshia in the exact same dress that they had Claire in the promos. Do you think they were trying to trick us? Like, I mean, that was definitely on purpose. It was the exact same weird 1980s Dynasty red lace gown they jammed Tayshia in, which would never have been her choice.
So you want to know what's kind of funny and ironic is, although I don't watch the show, I still on my Instagram for whatever reason thinks my Explore page needs to be cluttered and just heavy dose of Bachelor like fan pages and Bachelor.
It's trying to tell you something.
I'll click on it because like it kind of involves me in some weird roundabout way. So like I'm semi interested enough at least to click on it. Anyways, there was this one side by side comparison of Claire's dress and Tayshia's dress, and they're only. And this is coming from a guy that knows nothing about fashion whatsoever. The only similarity these two dresses had were that they were red. And I don't think that they're like were so far different. Like Tayshia's was like lace and like more fluffy at the bottom, and Claire's was a little bit more form-fitting, like a little more pencil-esque, you know what I mean?
Okay, Okay.
So I think the only similarity was that they were red. And let's be honest with ourselves, like red is the color of the Bachelor.
All right. I can't believe that Dean is the one. Dean is our fashion expert.
And he doesn't even watch the show. I watched the show and I did not notice that.
Great. So we're starting at La Quinta, which our rookie of the season, Doug Benson. For those of you who know Doug Benson, he is quite a stoner. He did our podcast and he went immediately to La Quinta and was taking photos of himself outside the El Presidente suite. Blake, the Canadian one that really was like, he bought the book on dementia. He's pissed that Claire ran off with Dale. He's giving a speech that maybe this new bachelorette will be similar to Claire, a strong and independent woman. And basically in walks Tayshia. Dean, if you wanted to see like a record scratch on the faces of the men, like jaws drop, Tayshia walks in the room and it was literally like a visual record scratch of all the men being like, I really like Claire. And it's like, here comes the smoke show. I mean, like, holy shit. These guys were flabbergasted. Greg, what did you think of the moment of Tayshia walking in?
We're only four or five, and there's five episodes in. So I don't know how invested anybody, let alone Dale, could have been with, you know, her. I mean, I literally was like, okay, this is great. I mean, she's amazing. Both these girls, they're just terrific. And when she walked in, I was like, okay, completely different. If you're going to go just superficial, completely just on looks, she beams. Like, there's a ray of light that walks in that room that you go, oh,
stunning.
My God.
Like, her energy, stunning.
Her smile, she's stunning. I'm like, who's not going to give that person a chance? She just seems amazing.
Jared, what did you think of the moment when she walked in and all the guys were like, I don't know. And then
she was glowing. It was like JJ using his solar flares when Tayshia walked in, you know? It was like, woo! I'm blinded by the light, baby. It made me happy. Like, honestly, because I think these group of guys, I think it's a really good group of guys.
They're
I
so
like
nice.
Them. They're so sweet.
Guys.
They're really great.
Okay, solar flares. You want me to give you a little behind the scenes on solar flares?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, you're not going to believe this. There is a PA on that side of the camera. There's a PA on that side of the camera. And they're flashing flashlights at the lens.
Oh, I believe it. Because that's genius.
I know. And it's so simple. And it's practical. And you go, what? Really? And that's how they do that. And
are you a Star Wars fan?
Dude, that's the kind of shit that gives me goosebumps. Because it's so simplistic, but so genius. And makes such a revolutionary, it's now it's JJ's, you
style.
Know. It's his style. It's his call. You know?
Yeah, but it's not even – that's not a Star Wars thing. That's a Star Trek thing. Like, he started that in Star Trek, but you look at it and you go, man, those – and other filmmakers are trying to copy it. And but it's not a post-production thing. It's a
no.
– and think about – and I know we're talking about The Bachelor, but do you think about
– I want to give Blake and Dean and Jared full permission to ask any –
sorry,
I
know we're
– no, don't apologize.
I'm going to tell you legitimately because this makes me so happy. I want to give you permission to literally any Bachelorette segue that we can have. I want as much Star Wars questions. Ask anything you want. It's like tick. I like here. Nothing more than playing host just of like making people's dreams come
true. Greg will appreciate this. So the former executive producer, great, great guy. And we've become really close with him. And he's really close friends with James Gunn. And he knows like that I'm a huge Marvel fan. So I was fanboying. And so he's pretty much the one who came up with the idea of paradise. And his thing was like, I see The Bachelor and The Bachelorette as everybody's solo movies. And then paradise is the Avengers where everybody comes together. And I was like, and that's like, dude, that's one of the first things he told me when he was pitching me to do paradise. And I was like, oh, fuck, I'm in. Like, I'm in, baby.
By the way, perfect description. That's absolutely.
I know, right?
Yeah.
All right. So back to Tayshia's.
Okay. So Tayshia gives a nice toast and she goes, we're going to have a bomb summer. I want to find love. And all the guys are like, yeah, we're going to have a bomb summer. I want to find love with you. And Ivan and Tayshia, Ivan is so cute. What I enjoyed, Dean. So far, basically, in the first four episodes, Claire came in locked and loaded and was literally like in heat. On like the landing strip. So like the guys get out of the limo and she's like howling at the moon, like, oh! it's my husband. Like literally, like her leg is like that's my husband. That's my husband. Oh my God. Oh my God. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
By the way, she's not exaggerating in the least.
No, like literally, she's like, I knew it. Oh my God. I knew it. Okay, be cool. But like, you've never seen a very sweet bachelorette with less game. Here, every guy is there for her. They've had you quarantine for 2 weeks to get there. She literally could have played it cool for even an extra 10 days, could not play it cool in the least, which was also her magic. And so we've literally met no other men except for Dale. There was one villain that they got rid of immediately. And the other guys, they seem nice. We don't know much about them, but they seem like nice guys. So there's this adorable guy named Ivan, who's an engineer. He loves chess. He pulls her aside and he is just so razzled by Tayshia. He's like, I was here for Claire, but I have so much more in common with you. And like, you are my speed, which is basically just what every guy has said. Basically every guy except for Jason says that. I know Greg wants to get to that. We'll go to Jason right now. Jason was the one who, Dean, Jason had some issues and Jason had a past and there was darkness in his past. And Claire took him on a one-on-one date and she had him write out everything negative anybody had ever said about him on a tablet. And it said like, mean, rageful, distrustful, every red flag you could ever want as a lady. Yeah. And she had him take this tablet and throw it against a rock. And it's like, you're free from that. But like, she was kind of attracted to like, he was like, gonna cheat on you, have a temper.
Yeah.
It's every.
What was interesting is like, this is a guy who he was just very, this is the first time it seemed like he had ever opened up to a woman about who he truly is and exposed himself. And because of that, I think that vulnerability is what attracted him. And he thought, okay, I'm in love with her. I really, because honestly, guys, you can't fall in love this quickly. Like, I really hope that marriage lasts, but I don't think it's gonna. I'm sorry. I just don't. Well, Dale couldn't get a word in edgewise later in the show.
Yeah.
And she kept saying, he stood up for me. He stood up for me. I love those two. And I really hope it works out so he doesn't have to go back to the Fine Young Cannibals band. But I mean, but like getting cut to Jason, he's opened up for the first time. And so he says, I have feelings for her. I feel sorry for this guy because he leaves the show and now he's never going to be. I mean, it's weird. Dude, she's engaged. Dude, she's found love. You need to like move on. And he seems like a great guy. One of the best parts about this, by the way, and I would be the same way. This is who I am. And I'm a lot older than you guys. But when he was leaving and he had his little core clique of guys and they were all like, I love you, man. I love you. That was real. That was sincere. And I really appreciated that. Like,
that's what I love about The Bachelorette is I love the bromances. And what's nice, because last night, so it seemed like they got rid of their only villain, which almost feels like they had to bring in a limo of attractive for like, it seems like guys that Tayshia might like. So her seems like she seemed to respond to them physically, but it felt like they brought in a limo just with like four villains to come like mix it up a little bit.
I mean, I'm glad they brought in new guys for Tayshia. So she got some sort of night one normalcy for The Bachelorette. Cause it's a tough thing for Tayshia to come in.
Yeah.
What, 10 days or whatever the hell it is after Claire, you know, they already met these guys, already went on dates and she's being thrown in, not to mention it's in a pandemic. So they're not traveling anywhere. They're at one resort. So I'm glad they were like, listen, we're going to give you some more guys as well. So we open up, you know, more options, no rose ceremony tonight. I thought the show did a good job in that.
Okay. Yeah. I have a question for both of you though. You're in that situation, just going back to Claire and Dale, and first of all, can you even see yourself after that few number of days proposing? I mean, honestly, guys, come on.
I don't think so, no.
No way. No way. So when the guy who looked up, I forgot his name, the guy who looked up, the condition and he's you know, the guy with the beard. Who's
Blake.
Yeah, Blake. Oh, yeah. When Blake sits there and says, dude, there's no way. It's too soon. What the fuck? This is not going to happen. I really, that's the voice of the audience for me. Cause I was sitting there going, yeah. And I just don't see, I mean, I know Chris and I haven't asked him about this cause he's in quarantine or he was, but I mean that they must've been going in the truck. Ken must have been going, whoa, 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 what's going on? What the fuck's going on?
Wasn't there some speculation or something that they had spoken before the show started filming?
Yeah, yes. So they asked him about it last night.
So they brought them back for like a little. Katie very much thought, Katie, we'll let you take the floor for a moment, because Katie was very much on team. They must have spoken. I was on team. Claire has the right sort of fracture in the brain. And I love Claire and I'm rooting for her. But there's like enough of like a little bit of a crack where she's like that sort of princess fantasy of like, this is it. Katie, what side do you fall on these days?
I mean, they keep saying they didn't. She swore on her dad's grave they didn't. But it just seems like, how could Dale, especially, like, how could a man really fall in love with like that so quickly if they haven't spoken? And I do kind of feel like it's like be an easy thing to hide if they had. They could just like make fake Instagram accounts and like message through that. But I don't know. I mean, I was completely convinced that they had talked beforehand until she said the thing about how she swore on her dad's grave, because that I was like, I feel like she might not lie about that. Yeah.
I don't think she would. And I think she and Dale, she's enough of the gas pedal on this, fueled by the Bachelor producers are like, what's next? Let's call Neil Lane. It's just like, oh my God. Like, it didn't take, they definitely fanned the flames of her. Like, this is it, you know? And
yeah,
I felt when they brought them back last night, I felt for Dale. Look, I'm rooting for them. I actually really hope that I hope they get married and have a happily ever after. He seems like a nice guy. I felt a little bit, he felt a little captured. Like, this proves he'll never go anywhere. And him showing up, that everybody's always left. I'm like, you'd only had one dinner with him. You'd had a meal with him.
Guys, we all know these type of girls. That you meet them once, you go on a dinner with them once, and they go right on the phone with their best friend and go, he's a real go-getter. I mean, I could see us having kids together. This is
guys are like that too. I used to get, people used to try to capture me. Like, there's gentleman sides of that too. And you're like, whoa.
For sure. Whoa. For sure. And maybe it's because she's been out there for so long and she knows exactly what she wants. I hope it's genuine. I just, in hearing her, the twinge, and they cut to him, he couldn't get a word in last night.
I know.
They said, what's next? And he goes, she goes, babies. And
oh my God. Oh my God.
He looked like Nexium captured. Like,
Dean. The question was to him. The question was to him.
It was the babies. Dean, talk. You have the floor. Dean.
Here's my question for you guys. And you guys will know this better than me, certainly better than Jared, because let's be honest, it's Jared. Do we think that they are maybe like trying to shove a happy ending down our throats because their track record for like the past, what, 5 shows in a row has been so horrendous? Like, working backward, there's been so many failures after one another.
I agree. That's what I said. I said we had Colton jumping the fence. We have
Hannah B.
Hannah B. We had Ari.
Peter.
Yeah, Peter
Becca broke up with her fiance. The only successful one of those, I don't think any of those were actually, because they're all broken up with the person that they chose at the end. So now
people weren't happy about Rachel. People weren't happy with Rachel. They wanted Peter. Like, even though it worked out with Brian, the audience wanted Peter at the time.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. And especially just in recent, like, Rachel picked her final pick.
Yeah, Rachel, but Becca and Garrett, obviously.
I just think maybe because of they see this like these like last core seasons that have ended so miserably, and they're like, we need something. We're like going for a Hail Mary, swinging for the fences, and that's why they're so encouraging. Like, Dale, you got to engage. Ask her to marry you.
I don't think it's producers. I really don't. I think Claire is pushing this thing, and listen. I think it's mutual. I think Dale's very into Claire.
Yes.
But I think Claire is like 0 to 100, and she's like, this is my guy, this is my husband, and she's telling producers like, I want to marry this guy. I'm ready. I don't want to talk to anybody else. Like, I want kids tomorrow with Dale. And so I'm sure they were like, well, let's see what Dale thinks. And I'm sure they went to Dale and were like, you know, would you be open to proposing? And I'm sure Dale's like, well, I really like her. And I feel like Dale's wants to be in the relationship. Obviously I feel like he does love Claire, but he feels like he's going a little bit more with the flow of things. And Claire's really driving the bus here.
And by the way, let's be honest. It's just a show. It's like, you know, like he proposed. Okay, now they're living together, which is great. Try it out and everything. But if they break up, they break up. I don't think it's the end of the world for
you. Exactly.
Dean, what were you going to say?
I have a question for Jared. Okay, so Jared was on Caitlin Bristow's season, and she ended up picking Sean at the end of it. Obviously, they're not together anymore. Caitlin's with Jason, which is fantastic. But, Jared, was there any point where you were like – I think I actually did watch Caitlin's season, right? And I think
great it
was pretty obvious from the outset that she was all about Sean. Do you think there was ever a moment where Caitlin went to the producers and was like, Sean's the guy. I don't give a fuck about anyone else. It's going to be Sean at the end. I'm sure she went to multiple times and said that. And the producers were like, well, bro, we still got to film a show where you're contracted for 3 months worth of filming. You got to film for 3 months.
Oh, so you're saying you think that producers might have wanted Claire out?
Well, maybe not that so much, but like there has to have been some weird like motive of like,
oh, of course. I think the problem with Claire was that she, like with Caitlin, she was still really into Nick. I think she knew she was going to pick Sean for a while, but I think like in the back of her head, she was like, Nick's kind of fun too, though.
Her chemical reaction upon seeing Nick for the first time. I have never seen somebody's like literally like her panties doing like gymnastics. Like,
yeah, it was a bad moment for me, not gonna lie. I was like, oh wow, this is not gonna end well for anybody else besides maybe Sean.
No one wants to see that. That's also on a date with that person. I mean, I've never seen a reaction like that from one human to another human. I was like,
yeah, I think, but like Claire, like at one point, Dean, I'm not even joking. At one point in the at a group date, she gave herself the rose.
Yeah.
Wait, she felt like she couldn't hand out a group date rose. She gave it to herself.
She couldn't even pretend to be. So like whenever she, so say I liked Greg, right? And like, but it's like night two and we're on a group date and he's not even on the group date. My entire group date is like, so you pull me aside to get to know me, Dean. I'm like, so Dean, what's Greg like in that? Like, it's like the whole, tell me more about Greg. Okay. Uh-huh. And you're like, okay, well, I don't really want to talk about Greg. And I'm like, okay, but like, is Greg cool? Do you think Greg is here for the right reasons? Like that was
so funny.
She couldn't even,
like, she couldn't hide it. That was the issue. She was so transparent that I think the producers knew like, this cannot be sustainable for the next however many weeks. Cause like, it's going to be boring.
Yeah.
So then we get to know last night, there was a few gentlemen that came to the forefront who were so exciting. And Jared, I hope that you're rooting for Brendan as much as I am. I think he's from Massachusetts. He's from Milford. He wears a turtleneck with his suit.
Steve Jobs, as he was called.
I mean, he was like, he was funny. Like, he reminded me of like a guy we could have grown up with. He's like, yeah, I'm the weirdo in the turtleneck. People are like, who's this guy? He's been called Steve Jobs. I was like, I love, this is like a real guy. I enjoyed Brendan very much.
By the way, I'm mixing people up. Was he on the horse date?
He ended up going on the horse date.
Okay, let me tell you something. I'm in love with that guy. Like, more than her. I know she's your quote unquote smocho. He is such a real guy.
He's such a real guy.
Oh man.
Jared,
it's refreshing.
I feel like he's like your cousin, you know, from like
He's my second cousin from Southie.
How's your cousin?
He used to work at the Duncan next to the Ann and Hope. My grandmother.
Jared, were you his first marriage?
He was the second marriage to my third cousin. It was Bobby.
When he was working at D'Angelo's, he was married to Bobby.
D'Angelo's, the footlong steaked in cheese. Oh my God, what I would do for one of those.
Is he Whiz-Wit or Whiz-Without?
He used to go down to Harvard Yard in Pockets Cotton.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? This warms my heart. We're going to get an awful awful. Go down to Newport Creamery, get ourselves an awful.
Don't
awful.
Tease me with a fucking awful. Are you fucking awful, kidding? Okay?
Don't you tease me with a fucking Dell's frozen lemonade, Jared. Dean just left.
Coffee milk.
Dean literally just left.
Dean's up.
He's like, go fuck yourself. I don't want to know about your Rhode Island.
He'll sign back in.
He'll be back.
There he is. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the weirdo and the turtles. So here comes Chris Harrison, who Michelle Collins says looks just like Giada De Laurentiis, the chef that like he does kind of look like Giada. And he's like, well, it's a great night, but everything's about to change. He pulls her aside. And I was expecting more than four, to be really honest. Dean, he pulls her aside. He's like, it's going to be this big announcement. All things are happening. Up pulls a limo. He's like, all these guys are coming for you. And four guys got out. If you were the new Bachelor, would you expect more than four coming out of a limo in a pandemic?
How many were there total before the four came in?
16.
That does seem low. But I did want to say earlier, too, it's like, imagine going on a blind date. We've all been at least like – pitch the idea of a blind date. Most times you would say no. Imagine going on a blind date and having Tayshia show up. You know what I mean? like you have to be, you have to like the solar flares, as you guys were talking about. It's like, that's yes. gotta be one of the best saves of all time.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it should have been more than four, but I think maybe because they're like starting on week three, because they only have what, five more weeks of airing left. So maybe they were trying to start with a smaller number.
Are they going to extend the show? Cause I would think ABC would love this. It's, you know, pick up more episodes.
I'd be shocked if they, I mean, you guys know TV better than I do, obviously, but I figured that they already had their 10 episodes or whatever slotted out. And so maybe they're just trying to condense it into the
release. I'm sure. Yeah. Maybe extend it like a week or two. I don't think it's, cause they already announced that Bachelor is going to air January 4th.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah. Okay.
I know, but Arden, that's happened to us. You're on a show and all of a sudden in the middle of the season, they go, hey, we're doing 24 this year instead of 22 because it's successful. I mean, it's not a.
You're on more successful shows than I've been on. I've been on like, hey, we're going to do 12, not 18.
No, the first 200 episodes I did.
Yeah.
I've only been trimmed the other way, Greg, but yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, you know, when I first was filming Star Wars Force Awakens, I remember time on set where I turned to JJ and I said, listen, JJ, you should have Han say this, not that. That's not what Han Solo would say.
That's not what Han Solo would say.
Oh, come on.
What was your most exciting moment for the little boy inside of Greg to be like, I'm in Star, like what felt the most Star Warsy on set for you?
For sure, flying the X-wing. It was up on a gimbal, so it was like a real X-wing up above, like you're riding a bull. So they first of all, in Force Awakens, it was very different. It was wide open in Rise of Skywalker. In Force Awakens, they actually brought the thing down. I am not a petite flower. I'm a big dude.
No, you are. You're a petite flower, Greg. You don't talk about yourself like that, Greg Grunberg.
But they strapped me into this thing, and I hadn't gone to the bathroom before. And it closes in, and then they lock the cameras down. You can't get out. Oscar almost threw up. He was up there, and he got down, and he was like, man, I don't know how you're going to do it. I mean, he was – honestly, it gets so – and you're using your legs and stuff. Anyway, shit starts falling off. Like, buttons are flying off because it's put on with rubber cement. Like, it's like a – it's bullshit. It's like a high school production. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Things are flying. And that was the moment that I felt like I dreamt of this when I was a kid.
Where were you filming? What part of the world were you in?
Pinewood Studios in London, outside of London. And then the best
kiss to you, Greg Grunberg.
The best part was when, so you're up there and they say, okay, I got your back. We're going in. I got them on your left. Like it's a list of all the stuff you got to say. They don't know where they're going to use it, how they're going to use it. And then they go, okay, now all this, you got to say this other list. I'm just going to call it out. And it's, I've been hit. I'm going down. Say goodbye. No, no, no. And I go, no, I'm not going to say any of that shit.
You're like, I'm not dying.
I'm not dying. And so I didn't die on the first movie.
Wow. Okay, we'll be back. Nobody's dying here.
Exactly.
Bone Zone.
Let's get in the Bone Zone, guys.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, Fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Oh my God. Can I just say, this is just what we all needed. This is what we needed in 2020. It's been a garbage fire every year, but things are looking up. And we got
still looking good.
Things are looking good. Dean, do you have a Star Wars question you want to ask?
No, but we are, Caitlin and I are watching all 9 Star Wars movies from start to finish.
What number are you on?
We currently are about to start number 3. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I think it's old age or something, but it took us, I want to say it took us 4 days to finish episode 1. And I think Phantom Menace still holds up to this day. Although Jar Jar is maybe the most horrendous character in movie
Jar Jar's
history, it was still a great freaking movie. I love young Anakin. I love Darth Maul.
Jared, though, JJ Star Wars, he brings it back.
I mean, dude, Force Awakens.
Very, very good.
I'm not joking. So I went to go see Force Awakens by myself when it opened because I couldn't go. I lived in Rhode Island. There's no screenings at this point in my life. So it was like, I couldn't go Thursday night. I was working. So I went Friday morning, first showing. It was like 11 a.m. by myself. And I had to sit. I didn't think it was going to be packed because it was in fucking Warwick, Rhode Island. And of course, it's almost sold out when I get there. And I get there 20 minutes early. So I'm like third row up. But I'll never forget the feeling I had when I first saw that movie in theaters. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had in a movie theater because it just... I can't even talk about it. Ashley's making fun of me. She's next to me in the room. But it's just like, it's just this. I was so happy. I was in such a state of euphoria. Now, I have a question for Dean about Star Wars because, and Greg, you can answer this as well. Because you're saying you're watching all 9 Star Wars. I would argue that you should be watching episodes 4, 5, and 6.
First.
Then you go back to the prequels episodes 1, 2, and 3, and then you watch the new trilogy.
Yeah, if you want to watch it in order, you're absolutely right.
I agree.
Absolutely. Well, what's your argument? Why would you? I understand that 4, 5, and 6 came out, in the late 80s, and then 1, 2, and 3 came out late 90s, early 2000s. I understand that's kind of how they were released, but the storyline unfolds 1 through 9, so why wouldn't we watch it 1 through 9?
Because it's one, like, it was meant to be watched in the order that it was released. Like, it was always meant to be...
Katie is nodding her head. Katie's with you on this, Jared.
Yeah, because Katie knows the good things in life.
Katie knows the good things in life. Katie knows.
You just, because it's meant to be watched that where you, you know, you find out the story about Luke and then you find out, and obviously Empire Strikes Back, that Vader is actually Anakin Skywalker. I wish so badly, it's the one thing that I wish I was older for, to be in the fucking movie theater back in 1983 and watching The Empire Strikes Back and not knowing that Darth Vader is Anakin Skywalker. That would have blew my mind. That's one of the things, like, I wish I was a little bit older just to be like, holy shit, he's Anakin Skywalker.
Anyway. Your mind was blown just like the gentleman's mind was blown when Tisha walked in.
Exactly.
What?
She walks in. Guys, you can't say I don't know how to host. We'll come back to that. We can't say we don't know how to host. Out comes a big ass limo and the new Darth Vader of the season arrives with a man with all sorts of hair gel. He's got hair gel. His name is Spencer and she is just her type. She loves a John Paul Jones. She loves a Colton. Here comes Spencer. Spencer, she's like, oh, he's cute. He's a water treatment manager. Does that mean he deals with shit waste, Greg?
Yes. That's what I was thinking when I saw that. I was like, oh my God, he's a poop guy.
He's a poop guy. Somebody's got to be the poop guy. I'm not qualified. So he shows up. And then then he walks in and Jason actually, even though he is still like sort of folding in on himself about losing Claire, he's like, welcome, welcome. He's trying to be gracious. And then Spencer comes in and basically is like, which one of you assholes scared away Claire? And all the guys are like, fuck you. Like they hated him. Jared, how did you feel for the arrival of Spencer? He's our new front runner villain.
Yeah, I thought actually that was a good line when he was like, which one of you guys scared away Claire? And then nobody laughed. I was like, I thought that was kind of funny.
I think they did laugh and they cut around it.
Oh, probably.
I'm also obsessed with Kenny. Now, I don't know. You guys weren't here. You guys don't deep dive as much as we do. Kenny has the giant chest tattoo. Kenny is a
boy band, the boy band guy.
He's a boy band cover band manager. He manages boy band cover bands, which is incredible. And he's also was in porn and she doesn't know that, but I love that for him. I love Kenny. I think he's hilarious. I think he's very straightforward. I love that you can be a boy band cover band manager. Dean, if you were going to manage a boy band cover band, what cover band of a boy band would you put together, Dean?
That is a loaded question.
If you're going to build a cover band of a boy band, who are you going to cover? Backstreet Boys?
I'm probably like a 1D kind of guy.
Great. I like that.
Yeah. I will say the limited amount of watching that I've had this season, I remember seeing that guy, the boy cover band manager. And yeah. I remember seeing his title and I was like, I was so perplexed.
Yep.
Because don't get me wrong. He definitely looks like he should be managing boy band cover bands. Sure. I don't disagree with that.
Well cast.
But it was just, I think the outfit that he was wearing at the time was like his button down was unbuttoned halfway down his chest. And you see
every time
in the hair and like he's like 40 years old, but he looks like still 20.
I agree. Arden, you got to get over guys like that. Just get
it. I don't have a crush on him. I find him an entertaining character. I'm not like,
okay.
Oh, no. When I say I love him, I mean, I love him I like that he's sort of straightforward. No, I don't want to mouth kiss a boy band cover band manager with like a tattoo down to like of like the American flag. We can see going down to like the undercarriage area.
Yeah, like, every episode it's like one less button is buttoned on his shirt.
That's exactly right.
There's one more talon tattoo and like just it's all going down to the nether region. Like I don't need like a stars and stripes getting down into the Fremunda. Like it's just not. No, I don't. I'm not attracted to him.
There's a flagpole down there, by the way. There's a flagpole.
Well, apparently there is. I'm not attracted to him, but I find him again somewhat straightforward and entertaining. He's like, if I had a shittiest first impression roast, I'd give it out to Spencer. Like, that's funny.
That was a pretty good line.
I think he was hammered. I think he's a fun character.
Yeah. No, he's a fun character.
Then Montel comes out of the limo. He's cute. He's got that salmon jacket going on that got passed around.
I like that dude.
Me too. He was adorable.
Yeah.
Then we have Noah the nurse. And I feel like if somebody stole Dean's mustache and put it on Jordan Kimball, that we would have Noah. Did you find that?
I actually got tagged in a lot of like Instagram stories of saying like Dean's mustache walked, so Noah's mustache could run.
That it felt he was trying to do a Dean. Did you?
Yeah, that's the guy at the end who was clipping his mustache in the mirror.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was attractive. I was a little turned on by the short clips that I saw.
Good porn stuff happening. Jared, what did you think when you saw it? Did you think of Dean when you saw Noah and his mustache? Then he's a male nurse.
I know he's Greg Focker, a male nurse. I like it. with Dean, I did think of Dean, but the thing is, Dean can pull off a mustache because Dean looks like Leonardo DiCaprio. You know what I mean? So like, if I pulled up a night one rocking a mustache, Caitlin would have just pointed in the other direction. Like, get back in the car. Don't even try. Yeah. Dean walks out. Dean walks down the stairs in paradise with a mustache, and just people are losing their minds.
Hey, Jared, yeah. Jared, I have nipples. Can you milk me?
Oh God, I love that movie. That was my nothing like Noah's whatever mustache clipping it.
You know who scored points for me in this episode? Is Easy.
I love Easy.
I love that dude.
I love Easy. So Easy talks, he pulls her aside. He finally, because I've been waiting for Easy. Like, he's really been growing on me.
Yeah.
And she thought he was, like, shy. But I felt like they had, like, nice chemistry. Tell me how you felt about Easy, Greg.
I just feel like he just has, again, that same sort, like, her energy, too. The two of them together are just beautiful. They're just, he's just, I was like, okay, that's the guy. That's the guy until I saw how she was like, maybe I should be with a guy who's quieter and more calm. And he's like, yeah, that's kind of who I am. And then they open up to each other, her and Brandon, about, you know, being married before and divorced. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
You know, by the way, I was like, oh, no, this can't be another moment like we've just had. I mean, she said, I feel like he could be my husband. I mean, I guess that's the point of the show, you know, but that was just a little too much.
So it feels like right now the front runners, we have we have the new guy that Spencer who showed up.
Yeah.
Spencer got the first impression, Rose. Jared, what did you think of Spencer and his connection with Tayshia?
Spencer feels like the guy who has a strong connection early on, but then becomes the villain of the season, and Tayshia figures it out later on in the season, and he's like destined to go on a 2-on-1 and destined to be sent home on that 2-on-1 after Tayshia has her moment of like being like, you know, I deserve better than you.
Yeah.
So that's like my prediction for Spencer. You're right.
He's the one that if it was Hannah's season, she'd be moving the podium away from.
Exactly.
She would be moving it on a volleyball court.
By the way, they showed clips of the rest of the season, and they showed her about to receive a proposal. And there's the other, she's wearing white and the other guy's wearing white. And I think I could tell who it was.
Tell us. Don't say.
What do you mean? You saw it?
I didn't register it.
I didn't see that either. Now I'm curious who it was.
Oh, you got to go back and look.
I don't want to know. I'll let you guys. We can cut this part. We'll do it at the end.
No. Let's talk about it real quick and you can cut it out.
Okay. I'm not going to listen. Cut this part out. I'm not going to listen. What a journey. Okay.
I can't believe that Peter comes back on this season to propose to Tayshia.
Finally.
That's insane.
Finally.
Yeah.
Was Tayshia on, what season was she on?
Colton.
All right. So then we have, let's talk about Brendan. So Brendan, she gets a one-on-one with Brendan and they go horse riding. I feel like the producers are doing a good job because they can't leave this freaking resort. It's 190 degrees. True. It's so hot that they really can't go anywhere.
Yeah. It's like the surface of the sun.
It's the surface of the sun to the point where they had their group volleyball date and they actually respectfully didn't show the guy in their Speedos. I think they got flack for the like striptease thing. So they didn't show all the guys like in their packages. And then they played this like football or a basketball, basketball in the pool. I love sports. They play the basketball in the pool and then they were going to win a barbecue. And I honestly think it was so hot. They didn't even have the barbecue because they didn't even show it. Did you notice that?
Oh, that's true. They referenced the hot dogs and hamburgers, but they didn't show it.
They referenced it, but I think it was so hot they couldn't bother showing it.
What did you guys think of Spencer getting cracked in the mouth?
Loved it.
It was two competitive guys. Like, of course something's going to happen. Like, you put all these competitive, like, peacocking guys in one pool fighting for one girl, like someone's gonna get smashed in the mouth.
Yeah,
can we just talk for 1 second? And I'll say this as a lady, so you guys, nobody can give you any. Me and Anna and Katie can say this for 1 second. I mean, Tayshia coming out of the pool in that bikini,
dude.
God bless Mother Nature. Can I just say, I mean, the genetics at work there, I have never. I mean, it's like when Daniel Craig came out of the water as James Bond, the lady version. I was like, holy shit. Like,
yeah, I mean, that was the Fast Times at Ridgemont High moment. Yes. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
As a straight woman, I was like, well.
You got a boner? You got a boner, Arden, didn't you?
Female boner.
Like, holy shit. I mean, maybe I'm gay for Tayshia. Like, she's. Holy shit.
Okay,
like,
so let me ask you guys something.
I never felt like less of a woman.
Let me just ask you guys something. You're there.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird? Well, maybe you don't see it. You don't see it, but we see it. Like her, and maybe I'm old fashioned, but she's making out with too many people too quickly. Isn't it fucking weird? And then you get a one-on-one and you're thinking, whose tongue is just down
her throat? I just thought about COVID. Dean.
Well, no, but they're all clear.
Dean, I'll let you take that question.
Yeah. Here's my experience on the show, because that's all I can really speak from. The guys on my season didn't really ever discuss it. And we never, like, at least I never personally, like, walked in on someone else making out with her. So as far as I knew, she wasn't making out with anyone except for me.
Let's be honest.
Obviously she was. Obviously they all do. But I think at the time you're so, like, naive to it, and, like, you're just kind of got these blinders on, like, just focusing on your own thing. That's at least my own experience with it. Like, I remember I thought to myself, I was like, wow, I'm the first one that kissed her. But in reality, I was like the sixth one that kissed her. You know what I mean? Oh. But that's maybe at least how they're able to cope with it.
No, sure. I agree with Dean. Like, you just have blinders on. You don't think of anybody else kissing her. But I don't know how the leads do it. I give them, this is going to sound stupid, but I give them credit for it. Like, there's definitely guys that Tayshia didn't want to kiss. Right? Yeah. Like, that just happens every year. There's people that you just don't want to kiss. Not because they're not ugly. They're obviously all beautiful, but you just don't have a connection with them.
I was surprised that she seemed excited about, and she went in for kissing. I was surprised she kissed Zach, that she went in for that kiss with Zach and seemed into it. He's the addiction specialist. He has, like, a New York accent. She feels like he's, like, a real man. She's like, he's a man. Greg.
I like that guy. I actually like him.
He's a nice guy. He was the one. So let's talk about that moment. He was the one when Jason was like, I need to leave. He was the one that said to Jason, I'm really proud of you, man. You walked in here and you've grown while you're here. And that you actually, you know, he went and knocked on her door. He's like,
yes.
And like they did. They had that bromance. Did you guys have bromances in the house? Dean, was Alex your best friend from the house?
Alex is pretty quiet. Peter, it was me, Peter, Alex. And that's Iggy. So and like, I mean, all the guys are close, obviously, but it's easy to like look back on the past 4 years and be like, well, I still talk to Peter a lot. I still talk to Alex a lot. There's always going to be these bromances. And honestly, the people that don't make the bromances are the ones that are like, you're like, those are the guys with the red flags. You know what I mean? Like, if
I love the bromance. I love the bromances. It's so fun. Who is your buddies in the house, Jared?
Ben, honestly, I was friends with all of Ben, Nick, Tanner. Remember Cupcake?
I loved Cupcake. The dentist.
Cupcake's the best. The dentist.
You guys had good guys. I think Caitlin had a good season of guys.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. Sean, obviously, I still talk to a lot of the guys.
Okay, so let's get to that final date. We've got the date. It's a one-on-one. We've got Brendan. I loved him. A nice Massachusetts guy. They go horseback riding. Captain Harrison, that's what we call Chris Harrison. Captain Harrison kept showing up with like coconuts and ice cream and margaritas. And she couldn't have looked foxier riding up on the horse with her like giddy up cowboy. And all the guys are like, holy shit. And I felt for him because like he didn't seem like he'd ever been on a horse. They just got on and went. That could have been. Yes, Greg.
I got to say, she scored a lot of points with me. When it got real at the dinner, like when they were sitting down, I'm telling you, guys, we're in front of the camera. We're all doing the same thing. You're running on adrenaline. She was saying the same things when she was meeting them really quickly in the beginning of the show, where she's like, hi, nice to meet you. Oh, he's really great. It's like all the stuff you're supposed to say. She's bubbly. She's excited. She's there. She didn't know she was going to be there and all that. All of a sudden you could just see it went real. And when she appreciated and all of a sudden I looked at him. I remember when he said there are better looking guys and funnier guys and smarter guys in the house. I
loved that.
Yeah. And then, by the way, there really aren't. When he got real, I thought, man, this is great, dude. This is why we ultimately all watch the show. Yeah, we watch for the villains and everything. But we want to see real people actually falling in love. That's why that show works.
So sweet. I loved how he opened up. He was like, you know, I was married once in my early 20s. It was my high school sweetheart. Our families were friends. We got married and then we kind of grew apart and we tried to make it work. I found out she didn't want to have kids. I don't want to have a family.
I loved how he said it wasn't like infidelity or anything. Like we didn't cheat. And then she goes, yeah, mine had a little infidelity.
Yeah, she was like, mine's infidelity.
Yeah.
Not on my part.
and other issues. Yeah, she was like, she had some, but like, and he goes, when she said, I was nervous to tell you. And then his response was like, well, look at that. Like, such a sweet.
I know.
He seemed like such a good guy. opening up his heart. He's sincere, yeah. Like a nice, sincere guy. When he said, I'm not the best looking guy, I'm the smartest guy, but I'm the most well-rounded. I know that's not that sexy, but I was like, I love this guy.
Yeah, hey, are the cameras, cameras completely hidden? Like when you're doing that?
No.
Oh, you can see him.
Oh, they're right there.
Jared, your cousin was so great on that. Tell me more about your cousin on that day. I loved him.
Yeah, my cousin Brandon, he's such a nice boy.
He's so
sweet. Looking at me weird. They're like, what the hell are you talking about?
There's definitely, I think we were talking about this earlier too. There is definitely like when Jared was saying how he like kind of hate watches some things. Whenever I see certain moments, I like roll my eyes so hard they're gonna get stuck in the back of my head because I feel like so much of it is like recited or like practiced, rehearsed, whatever. But there are a few moments where they're like raw, real, and I think those are the moments that like Greg was saying that really like really watch the show for. So like
totally.
Obviously, I didn't see this moment you guys are talking about now, but those raw and real moments are the ones that I would always be like, I would hope to see. And then that's the stuff that kind of keeps people coming
do
back.
Do they ask you to repeat? Like if you say something and you stumble on your words, are they like, you know what, why don't you just say that again?
Not for me personally. It was never in like one of those like real unabashed truth moments, but like they're probably like lines. They're like, we need to like pick up this line. And you like probably say it a couple times.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Or if you're like, you know, hey, do you want to continue this date? Usually it's for the lead. They're like, okay, you know, you have to say this, like, let's continue this date somewhere else. You know, right. The date's not over. But no, I totally agree with Greg. But like those moments are, and Dean too, those are the moments that you watch for because they're so raw and real and emotional and they're relatable. And a guy like Brandon is just like, yeah.
It feels like until the new guys, except for Spencer, it feels like most of the guys now honestly seem more like nice, real guys. Like they don't quite feel like they're there just to be on TV. Like
even the douchey guys, the guys that I thought, oh, this guy's a total douche. That guy sweet. Who like the guy who has the huge suite and he's wealthy. He's like the
like him. I know.
Oh, Ben, I like him.
Dude, Ben is the man.
Ben is the man. We all thought he was going to be a piece of shit, and he's actually a delight. Ben is a delight.
So I can say this because, we were at the next episode. We're a part of a group date, and I got to meet Ben. And I immediately was like, this guy, I like this guy a lot because he's just so self-aware, and he really plays into it. And my favorite movie of all time is The Social Network. And so I was like, movie. Bro, you look like a gentleman of Harvard. And he's like, well, I did go to Harvard. And I was like, do you know the Winklevosses? And he's like, I did. I was a part of like, I forget which club, finals club he was a part of. He might have been a part of the Porcelain or something. And I'm like, awesome.
This is awesome. Yeah, he's funny about it. He seems like, please tell Ashley that we say hi and we want her to come on with Lance Bass and we miss her.
Arden says hi and she wants you to come on with Lance Bass.
Oh, I would love.
And she would
yes, great. I want to give a shout out to Kenny, meanwhile, talking to Spencer. Okay, Dean. So everybody's like, Spencer, you're a piece of shit. And he's like, he's basically being Riley and Spencer sort of having, Riley was the one that elbowed him. And like, they were kind of they were afterwards hanging out and he was like, I think I owe you for my cracked ribs. And Spencer's like, if you need it anymore, let me know. And then Kenny goes, this is why I love Kenny. Again, in my platonic, my friendship love of Kenny, he goes, hold on. I'm not going to speak freely here for 1 second. I'm just going to put this into layman's terms, bro. But don't take this the wrong way, but you're coming off kind of like a dick. Obviously, we're not all going to be friends, but we all kind of need to live together. And I just thought, for a boy band cover band manager, he just cut. He's plain spoken and like he was being respectful. He was like, I'm going to put it in layman's terms. You seem like kind of a dick. Like I loved it. Have you rethought Kenny, Greg? Do you like Kenny more now as a boy band cover band manager?
I just can't get over everything about him. I mean, look, I love that line, but that was also in the middle of the guy that elbowed him. What's his name?
Riley.
Yeah, Riley. I mean, dude, shooting daggers like that looked like a look that they stole from earlier in the show. He was just like.
Riley said, from where I come from a tough neighborhood and we didn't have a lot of money for food and we call guys like you lunch meat. So we had a stuff for fried bologna. You're like a fried bologna sandwich with mayonnaise. And like, I just thought, yeah, Spencer, just be cool. Don't be.
I know. But you know what? It makes good TV.
Jared, what did you think of Kenny's don't be a dick statement?
Oh, yeah, it was spot on. I mean, honestly, when Riley said the bologna and mayonnaise comment, all I could think about was my dad because I was like, My dad loves bologna and mayonnaise sandwiches.
Yeah, it's delicious. Bologna and mayonnaise is delicious.
It can't go wrong. Yeah, dude, Kenny, I mean, yeah, Kenny, I have really no thoughts about Kenny, I got to be honest. He seems very nice. Like, I like that he said you're being a dick. He was very upfront and honest.
But so before we get to our tweet of the weeks, I want to say, who do you think the final three are going to be? I'm going to start with Jared.
The final three?
Oh, final Jesus. Three.
Well, I'll go with, oh God. I'll go with Brandon.
Yes.
Zach.
Yes, that's the addiction specialist. Yes.
And oh shit, who?
Easy.
Yeah, easy. Yeah.
Spencer.
Yeah, easy. I'll go with easy. Yeah, that's a good. Thank you, Arden, for the assistant on that one.
Right. We're going to take a break and hear Greg's top three.
Ooh, I don't know about you, but things are getting so hot in here. I think I got to take a pee break.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Greg, your top three.
My top three, I'm gonna go along with that top three. I think Easy, he better be in the top three. Easy's yeah. Just so cool. I think Spencer is a red herring. I think don't the follow that
one.
Guy.
The two in one, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to last. But and then I definitely like obviously Brendan. I mean, that guy. I kind of hope they get together. I hope they, you know.
I love it. Katie, what are you doing? What are you laughing at? And who do you think your three are? Katie, Anna, I'm coming to you. Dr. Tana Banana. Katie, you're first.
All right. Brendan. Sorry, I was trying to figure out the guy's name. He was the dude with the mustache. What was his name?
Oh, the mustache. We'll just call Noah. Call him Dean.
Okay, yeah. So him, I think him and Brendan. And then I kind of think maybe Ivan. I felt like they had a little thing going. Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying Dean, Brendan, and Ivan. Okay. Dr. Tana Banana, who do you pick?
I'm, based off the vibe of her father, I'm guessing she doesn't choose the best guys. I think Noah might go far.
That's Dean. Yep.
Dean 2.0.
Yeah. Noah, and then I hope Brandon? Brendan?
Yeah, Brandon. That's Jared's cousin. So we've got Dean and Jared's cousin.
So far.
My father's second marriage.
Second marriage, yeah.
And then I think the other two might be like Spencer and Ivan, I hope. I really want her to pick Easy, but unfortunately we didn't get a lot of him in the preview, so.
Okay, Dean, based on everything that you've heard, knowing nothing, having not watched this season, what does your gut tell you from what you've heard of the narration today to pick your top three?
No, I appreciate you asking that question. And just judging from everything you guys have said, I'm going to say Kenny's up there.
Love it.
I want to put Jason in there too.
Love
and,
this.
And Blake as well, I think.
I think that's great for you.
Yeah.
I think that's a great. You've got great
Love
instincts.
Love it.
I'm going to go for number one. I'm going to put Dean up there. I'm going to put Brandon. And I'm going to put Dean, Brandon, and
Bennett.
I'll do easy. And Bennett, I'll do easy. Okay, before we do Tweet of the Weeks, and I'll let you guys go. You guys, thank you so much. You have been, we're trying to get over 1,000 ratings. We're up to 870. That's so great. Here's some of our recent ones. 5 stars, performance powerhouse by librarian Lindsay. Arden gives dramatic readings of the Bachelorette monologues that will change your life. This podcast is so funny. The guests are wonderful. I don't watch The Bachelor, but I've listened to this podcast for years. I look forward to it every week. Anna, Katie, how much do we love our fans that don't actually watch the show? It's incredible. We have a bunch of them. We love them.
I mean, yeah, you gotta come for the fun, even if you don't watch the show.
I mean, that's how I feel. It's like, I do believe I've built myself my own version of like Prozac. Here's another one. 5 stars. God bless the USA and this postcast. Rose podcast. Oh my God. I was eyeing up that taco costume at Party City this year for myself, but I wouldn't been able to do it justice like Dale did. I heard Arden on another podcast and I thought she was so funny and cute. Because I love The Bachelor, I started listening to this one. So glad The Bachelorette this season is an old bag like me. I love the mix of guests that they don't all have the same opinions. And I love Arden's dramatic reenactments of Claire and the fact that she has to rewind over and over again to write down these characters, what they're saying. I have to do the same with my podcast, except we have to rewind creepy Dateline details. I so appreciate the time and effort. So worth it. Loving the show and telling everyone all about it. Sarah from the Lipstick Files podcast. Thank you, Sarah. How sweet is that?
That is nice. That is cool that people come over.
I know. I love it. Here's another. Oh God, there were so many great ones. This is so many great ones. Okay. I'll just read, here's another great one. Arden, will you accept my rose by Straight from the AG? I'm going to seem like a stalker, but I love Dumb People Town. And then I loved Arden's book. And then through the book, I heard about Will You Accept This Rose? And as an OG watcher of The Bachelorette, I literally started with Trisha. I got so excited and just listened to the Taco Dale episode. Welp, I'm sold. And now, despite having 2 small children and distance learning bullshit, I now feel like I need to stay sober enough tonight to watch the special Thursday episode so I can listen to the next one immediately. Also, Yosef is like that dude that hits on you at a bar and you tell him no. And then suddenly he's like, whatever, you're fat. That's a really good review. That is a really good review. Okay. There's so many other good ones. I'll read the rest of them, but we love your reviews and we appreciate them. Just like I love the reviews that you give my book on Amazon or Goodreads. It really helps. Anybody who liked my book, please review it on Amazon or Goodreads. Here are a couple of amazing emails that we got. This one made me really happy. Here's an email we just got from Maggie Thompson, and it's in capital letters. Jerry can get it. Sending love while slinging bedpans. That's the subject line. Dearest Arden, Tana, and the amazing Will You Accept This Rose stars. I've been meaning to write an email for a while, and it turns out this tequila-infused post-night shift buzz is what's pushing me to finally send one. Lovely, hilarious Arden, I heard about your podcast in the spring after hearing you on Las Culturistas, and it has literally been my saving grace during quarantine. I am an ICU nurse in North Carolina, and I've been caring for COVID patients since May. In my worst, sweatiest moments, cleaning and powdering skin folds at the hospital, I dream of the days off when I can spend 8 hours listening to your podcast and laughing my ass off. Obviously, I've been spending a lot of time alone in quarantine, and I cannot overstate how much this podcast has meant to me. I never considered myself a Bachelor fan, but listening to your podcast, I feel like I'm amongst genuine, goofy friends who are so fun and relatable. It has been the lighthearted distraction I have so needed. I went back and started listening with Becca's season and have been hooked ever since. No Bachelor viewing necessary. I had only ever watched the first episode of Becca's season, but decided to start Claire's season earlier today to help me unwind after all the election stress. I am already up in arms, texting my sister every 2 minutes and cannot wait to hear all you have to say. I have to say my all-time biggest laughs came with you, Kyle Dunnigan, and Tana gave each other DJ announcement challenges. Unreal and genius. Speaking of your guests, I think I'm in love with Jerry Traynor. Maybe it's all this time pondering singlehood with no great options for dating during a global pandemic, or maybe Jerry really is the most goofy and fun person alive. Dime. Peace. Send him my way at your earliest convenience. Sorry for the wordy email. Just wanted to say thank you so much for doing the Lord's work and keeping this nurse from wallowing in the depths of despair. Love and light always. Love, Maggie Thompson. What a review, Tana. Can you believe?
My God, I forgot about that episode. That was so fun.
Oh, my God. We got to get Kyle back on. Can you imagine Kyle and Jerry together?
Oh, my God.
Dude, that episode, Kyle Dunnigan. That was so, Kyle is kills me, and he's so good at being the radio DJ.
We're listening to, was that Jackson 5 song? Because it has like an intro to try and DJ.
Oh my God. Okay. So before we get to Tweet of the Weeks, any final Star Wars questions? The floor is yours. Man. Anything you want.
This isn't a question, but rather a funny tidbit. And I think it's okay that I share this, but
you can share anything.
Back a long time ago, Kaylin actually auditioned for the role of Rey because she's not an actress. She's never really acted anything before, but they wanted relative unknowns for those roles. And correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, but I'm pretty sure that's how it was. And she auditioned for the role of Rey. She didn't make it. Again, I don't know how much I can share here, but I don't think she made it very far in the casting process. But it's
right.
That's fun. Exciting.
That's pretty cool.
That's exciting. That's
fucking awesome. Kaylin auditioned for Rey.
Look at Jared is blown. Oh, he's like clutching the microphone.
Well, like you just don't hear that every day. Like, oh yeah, my girlfriend auditioned for the lead role in the new Star Wars trilogy.
Because every time we see it too, I'm like, you would have made a way better, right? And the actors that played Ray did a fantastic job, but obviously I got to hype her up a little bit, you know?
Right.
Yeah. She would have been a great Ray. She would have been a great Ray.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
Jared, I can see Kaylin as Ray.
Yeah.
Jared, anything you need to ask Jared, anything you want.
All right. There is one question that I do want to, it's not Star Wars related, but
anything you want.
Greg, I'm pretty sure you were in the third Mission Impossible, correct?
Yeah.
I love Mission Impossible.
Oh, well, have you met Tom Cruise?
Yeah, dude. My scene is with him. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Because I'm such good friends with JJ. There was one time, and there's been a number of times, but there was, I'll tell you just a great Mission Impossible story is that they were shooting out here by us. I live in the West Valley, and that whole bridge sequence actually on the ground. They built the bridge on the ground, and then they CGI'd the water under it and all of it. So that whole thing with the cars and the whole thing, huge stunt sequence. I mean, they built a 2-mile bridge on the ground. So JJ goes, you got to come to set. So I'm like, okay. And I bring the family because it's right here. So I bring the boys. My boys were young. And Tom couldn't have been not, he honestly is such a good guy, man.
That's
it's
what
crazy.
You hear. You always hear nice things about him.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
My friend Cullen, he's a comedy writer. He writes for he was a Simpsons writer, and he got hired by Tom Cruise to do he was sort of his comedy writer when he hosted the MTV movie, which so they would fly on private planes and do like rehearsals, dance things. And he just said he was the hardest worker, got no sleep, the nicest guy, loved him.
Yeah. I mean, I've had several dinners with him. I've hung out with him. He remembers me when he sees me, he's like, Granny, oh my, just the nicest guy. And I just would not expect it of
him.
That's
so great.
And he just, I have to say,
I'm going
to
screen grab this.
Every JJ project I've been on, and it's been a lot thanks to my friendship with JJ, the big, huge stars, I haven't been disappointed at all. I think it just starts at the top.
The bigger stars I've ever met have been nicer. They're all the true A-list stars that I've ever worked with have been nicer than because they don't have to be rude. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's sometimes the people that are lower down that are ruder.
There's a couple of them that they'll and I do this. I guess I don't do this, but where you just have to kind of show your professional side a little bit, and then there's a moment when it just all of a sudden the walls break down. And it's like, hey, we're all hanging out. Al Pacino was like that. It was like I was so fucking nervous. I played a son, and I'm like, and then there was a moment I just gave him some shit, and I was like, oh fuck, here it is. He's gonna take it or he's not. And
here's the moment of truth.
All right.
I just want to say one thing to Greg, and then the reason I asked about Mission Impossible 3 is because I'm a huge Mission Impossible fan, huge Tom Cruise fan. But what I love about JJ so much is that everything is in camera. God, it just warms my heart how much he doesn't like using CGI. He likes it in camera, and it looks so much better. And I'll never forget, I remember watching the Mission Impossible 3 trailer and finding out that JJ Abrams was going to direct it, because I was a big Alias fan. I was a big Lost fan. Yeah. And there's a sequence on the bridge. I know. I just want to say this because
It makes me so happy.
There's one sequence on the bridge. It's it's such a simplistic special effect, but it every time I watch it, it puts a smile on my face. And it's when there's a missile coming in and Cruise is running towards the camera on the bridge, and it's one shot.
Yeah.
And then it hits a car behind him, and then the car blows up, and it blows Tom into the other car, and JJ just shifts the camera, and then he pans up, and it's all handheld, and then there's planes flying over, and it's just it's a 6-second shot that when I first saw it, it just I passed out.
I know, me too, by the way.
So
yeah, that moment when he gets slammed and then you see the source of it, it's it's unbelievable. You know what? Obviously the jets must have been CGI. You can't time that out, but that was
probably
unreal. Unreal.
But the fact that he built a 2-mile bridge.
But dude, this is what I was going to say is I get there and Tom goes, guys, come here. And he grabs my kids, takes them under the car that's upside down and shows them that the glass is rubber. He's like, look at this. Unbelievable. And he starts talking about rockets. The next thing we know, we've got he sends rockets to our house for the kids for us to throw up in the sky. I mean, he's just a thoughtful, nice guy, dude.
Dude, if Tom Cruise ever pulled me to the side and was giddy about the glass being rubber, I'd throw myself off the bridge because I would be my life has peaked.
Well, the good news is the bridge was on the ground, so you wouldn't have hurt yourself.
I got to say,
I'll go to the top of the roof.
This is so thrilling. This worked out even better than I could have. I couldn't be happier. And also watching Dean watch Jared, because I know Dean knows Jared.
I'm sorry, Dean.
It's the cutest. This is truly the cutest podcast episode. I just loved. I'm so glad it worked out. will you guys help us pick a tweet of the week?
Sure.
Okay, so here's the name of the game. If you guys want to tweet at us, you tweet at me or Anna at Ardenmarine, ArdenMyrin, or Anna Hosni, HossNie. You do hashtag WYATR. We narrow it down. Anna sends me about 60 tweets and I narrow it down to about 8. And then we pick 2 and vote on the number 1. All right, here we go. Here are our contenders for tweet of the week. Number 1, this is from Lauren at Purple_Haze. Such a shame that Claire's bachelorette reign came to an end at the La Quinta Total Landscaping.
That's pretty funny.
Okay. This is from Oh, this is from I'm Better Than Ben Shapiro, at Andrea _ Shapiro. I hope the one-on-one date for Jordan will be a trip to Lens Crafters. He's such a guy with the worst pair of glasses ever. We're not being mean. He's so handsome. He just needs a new pair of frames.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know what? I also need a new pair of frames, so we can do that as a two-on-one. And you can.
I've got some frames for you. I can recommend. I just got frames.
Where?
I know they're not sponsors, but they Bose has frames that have Bluetooth speakers in them.
Okay.
They're amazing. Shit.
Okay, I need new frames, truly. So you put me on that trip to Lens Crafters with Jordan and Greg. Number three, this is from Leslie Berkowitz at Hey Les Bib. Listening to Tayshia try to turn I sell diet supplements on Instagram into a job was a whole journey. You missed it. That's there. He was like, somebody was like, what do you do? And she's like, well, I travel a lot for work and I'm in the beauty and lifestyle space.
Yeah, that was interesting. I did not know what she did. And I'm like, that is
she's an influencer. Great. She's an influencer. So basically, she sells like somebody, fun, which is fine.
Right. But if somebody is confident enough to say, I treat people's poops, can't you be confident enough to talk about exactly what you do?
Yeah, like I don't have to go to work anymore. I'm Tayshia. Like I won.
Yeah, I'm the Bachelorette, bitch. I don't work.
That's true. I
work? Excuse you. Even if
what's funny is actually that's one of the few moments that I saw last night, and Taylor and I kind of looked at each other after she said that, and we kind of like laughed a little, like snickered a little bit because that's it's true. It's like. And I do the same thing whenever someone asks me what I do. I'm like, I don't fucking know what I do. So I just make some shit up. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
We have Paige Cooper at PCooper16. I book bands at a music venue is an interesting way of saying I discover One Direction cover band members who I hire for birthday parties and Sunday afternoon performances at the mall.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Oh, here is another one about her answer. Riley, what do you do? Tayshia, have you ever heard of sugar bear hair?
Have you ever heard a thing called Fab Fit Fun?
Oh, I got the discount code for you.
Yeah, swipe up for... Oh, I wish you looked in the camera and was like, use my code, swipe up for 10%. I would have made my life.
Liz Tunkel at Jizzy Lizzy Raps. Can we have a date where instead of being asked to strip, the men are asked to wear socks?
I like that one.
That's a good one.
It's too hot.
Dean, are you a no socks suit guy?
Well, I don't really wear suits, but I'd probably. Yeah, that's a really good question. I definitely wore socks when I was on the show. Did you? You definitely wore socks.
Yeah, I never could do it. I don't.
I thought you guys were talking Red Hot Chili Pepper socks. I didn't know you were talking about actual socks.
Yeah.
This is from Cheyenne Constant. I feel so bad for Jason. He's stuck on a woman that will be hard to replace. Where is this poor man going to find another blonde in her 30s with those boobs and a bit of past damage? Where?
Oh, my God.
And the final one, Seth Vatt at Basebone One. I've been married before. I've been married before, too. Whew, what a relief. I'm a commercial roofer. Let me walk you out. All right, Greg, I'm gonna let you pick your favorite two. Greg,
my favorite two.
Yeah,
my favorite two are gonna be I'm gonna bookend. It's the first one and the last one. I mean, okay. Those were both very funny.
Okay, so we're gonna go with Lauren at Purple_Haze. Such a shame that Claire's bachelorette reign came to an end at the La Quinta Total Landscaping.
That is funny.
Or Seth Vatt at Basebone One. I've been married before. I've been married before too. Whew, what a relief. I'm a commercial roofer. Let me walk you out. All right. Greg, roofer or La Quinta Total Landscaping?
Roofer.
Jared.
Roofer.
Dane.
La Quinta Total Landscaping.
Okay, I will go La Quinta Total Landscaping.
Hey, tiebreaker.
Okay, Dr. Tana Banana, do you want to be the tiebreaker or Katie? Well, who wants to tiebreak? Katie or I think Katie needs it. Katie, do you get to tiebreak? Do you want La Quinta Total Landscaping or do you want roofer?
I like roofer, I think.
Okay, Dr. Banana, who are you going for?
I like Total Landscape.
Oh, no.
It's a
It's a tie. They're both winners.
It's a tie. Okay.
Quite the dramatic finish to this podcast.
All right. So the winner, I'm gonna put one in one hand and one in the other. Decide. Okay. In my mind, this is one. And then in my mind, this is the other. This hand or this hand, Dean?
This hand.
This hand, I had Lakita Total Landscaping.
Yeah! It's rigged. It's all rigged.
It is rigged. He picked his own. He picked
Stop the count. Stop the count.
Dean, where can people find you?
Oh my gosh, find me. I don't care about Instagram, Twitter, anything. Just find me on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Help, I suck at dating.
Can I just say this was such a fun podcast? I had so much fun doing it, and these guys really do give great advice. Like, so if you are somebody that really wants, if you want, like, listening to advice podcasts about dating, or if you actually need to get it, these are two great guys who give great advice. This is a wonderful podcast that is like a brother podcast to us. They're also on iHeart. It's up your alley. Jared, I mean, these are great guys who are very in happy relationships, and we enjoy them very much. Jared, where can people find you?
I'm going to say the same thing as Dean. Screw Instagram. Screw Twitter. You can find us on the iHeart app, on not on Spotify, or maybe on Spotify. I don't know if we're on Spotify, but we're definitely on Apple Podcasts. Help, I Suck at Dating. We have great guests. Dean's on there. You can listen to his fantastic voice.
I love it.
That's it.
It's such a great podcast. Greg Grunberg, yes. My friend. Do you really have a golf course at your house?
It's not a real golf course, but we took the backyard because we're COVID and we're just, you know, quarantined. And it's a big enough that we have nine, not holes, but we took these stubs, you know, like tree stumps. And yes, it's a fun little nine hole course. Yeah, it's fun.
Greg, my friend. Over.
Yes, please. Shoot. Oh my God, I would love it. Please.
Oh my God, that'd be fun. We can have an outing. Tell us, where can people find you, Greg? What do you want to promote?
I'll promote my book. I brought it just to show it. It's called Dream Jumper. The book is called Dream Jumper. And I just spent the morning talking to a bunch of kids. It's a graphic novel. Adults love it too.
I can tell you that it was inspired by his son. His son woke up and his son was like, he had a dream where he could go jump into his friend's dreams, right? And
yeah, then he's a dream jumper.
Idea. Like any good father did, he stole the idea and he's making Dallas store.
Got exactly, come on.
Play, fuckers.
Yep. But I'm on Twitter and I am not sending any more anti-Trump tweets, which I'm very, very excited about.
Hey.
That fucker's out of the way. And now it's just nothing but smiles and happiness, man.
Yay. Bye, Felicia. Katie, Dr. Pinero, where can people find you?
I am KT_money on Twitter and Instagram. And also, if you live in Georgia, register to vote. Early voting starts December 14th. The election is on January 5th. Register now. Get it squared away. Fucking vote. Thank you.
Dr. Banana.
I'm at Anna Hosnier on Twitter, and I have a question for Jared.
Uh-oh.
Never discussed this before, but can you tell us a little about your experience on Bachelor in Paradise Australia?
Oh, Bachelor in Paradise Australia fan, I see.
We watched it. We watched it on our Patreon.
Yeah.
It was interesting. So a little backstory. I was actually living with Nick Viall at the time when I got a phone call to possibly do Paradise. And what happened was, it was a month before Bachelor Winter Games, which is what Ashley went on.
Right.
And they were talking to me about, and what Dean went on as well.
Yeah,
and they
did.
Were talking to me about possibly going on. And then they called me and said, listen, it's just not going to work out. You're not going to go on Winter Games. Bachelor in Paradise Australia wants you to come on their show.
With Osher. Osher's
great. And so, I was like, and you know, at the time I was harboring feelings for Ashley. I didn't tell anybody, and she was going Winter Games. So I was like, fuck that. I'm going to Bachelor Paradise Australia. And so I did it, and it was a lot of, it was fun. There was a lot of great people down there. I am just not an Australian woman's type. Like they like, I'm not joking. Every guy there was like 6'4", 220. Dean would have been short. It was insane. It sucked. They just don't like, I walk in, like I'm walking out of like a, you know, a Backstreet Boys music video with my like backwards baseball cap and my like short sleeve black shirts with my jeans and Nikes. And I'm like,
Kenny was ready to scoop you up.
Yeah. But it was fun. Like it was definitely a, It was definitely like a lower budget of the American version.
Was
like,
it a pretty hotel? Because it's such a nice spot.
Well, it was in Fiji. It was nice, but it wasn't nearly as nice as Sayulita, the one that the
right.
American version films at. It's kind of weird. So like in the American version, you are on camera 24/7, specifically in Paradise. Like there are cameras in the bedrooms. You are mic'd up all the time. Like there is never a moment where you are not being recorded. Where Bachelor in Paradise Australia, it was insane. You'd wake up in the morning, like I get up at like 10 a.m. and right. stroll down to breakfast with everybody else. No cameras, no mics. We all talk about what happened the night before. And I'm like,
right.
what the hell is going on? Yeah, like, are they going to record any of this? And then like noon would come.
We were wondering about that because some stuff would happen off camera and we're like, and they would be fighting about it. And we're like, don't they have that on camera? And so it sounds like they don't.
It just, I think they just are, it was their first season of Paradise. I think that they're just learning as they went.
With terror. And that was a fun season.
Terror?
We
oh, and Samuel?
Sammy and Terror.
Yeah, I know. They broke up. It was so sad. They were really, I thought
They were like Carly and Evan. They were cute.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I still talk to Jake a lot, Jake Ellis.
Oh, yeah. That was, we loved it. Yeah.
Jake I think was that was probably the best. He was all, I love that they showed him being like, pick her in the rose ceremony. I was like, oh, they don't give a fuck. They'll throw anyone under the bus on, you know.
Yeah. It was so good.
Protect you at all. I was,
oh, no.
You can find me at Instagram and Twitter at ARDE. I just know you guys have to go. I'm not trying to capture anybody. MYRIN. And I have a book, Little Miss Little Compton. And the audiobook is out now. If you like high-pitched ladies reading to you, I don't know what your thing is, then this audiobook's for you. Little Miss Little Compton, wherever books are sold. You guys, please come back. We just adore you. So fun having you on. And I hope you guys had fun. And it was so fun making Jared's boyhood dreams come
Jared's
true.
Jared's fanboys. No, you don't understand.
Jared's right? dreams didn't come true. My dreams came true. Thanks, Stop Jared. That. I mean, you're so sweet, dude.
Stop that, Greg.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is so a good nice. Combo.
I'm recording this, and it's going to be playing on loop.
Well, until next time, everybody stay safe. Wear a mask. Have a good time. Be nice to one another. Greg,
okay, guys are coming over, right? We're playing golf. That's all I'm going to say.
9 holes. Well, man,
we'll be over.
Okay, right. Bye.
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 Oh, yeah. Gonna get all up in you tonight. Gonna feel so good. I just got one little question for you, girl.
Will you accept this rose? Oh, will you accept this rose into your world? Accept this rose into your world.
Will You Accept This Rose is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.